thank the chorus for sharing and songs. And it's just interesting in a service like this, the various ways that the Lord can speak to us, singing and message through His Word and so on. Again, it's so good to have Pablo Yoder with us from Nicaragua. He's been our evangelist this week, and we want to have a prayer and then give him some time. So let's stand together in prayer. Thank you again, Father, for this wonderful privilege to be able to worship in this way. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry of your word in our hearts. Thank you for Pablo's willingness to be here with us. And we pray that you would give him clarity of mind, give him boldness to be able to share the message that you've laid on his heart. Help us to be able to receive your word, to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
My mic's not on. What a beautiful morning to worship the Lord together in this tent. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Thanks, brother. Let's imagine a tent this morning standing on a hilltop in the twilight. It's a big tent. The outside of the tent looks rough, made of skins of animals. But the inside of the tent is beautiful. It's a fancy tent. There are some beautiful rugs there, some couches, silver lamps hanging on the tent's walls making light because dusk is just coming in. It's getting dark. There are gold and silver ornaments laying around. In the middle of the tent, there's a table with the best foods. There are platters of meat, baskets of bread, bowls of fruits and vegetables, and goblets of wine. And around the table are gathered four men. And these men are very hungry. These men haven't eaten right for days. These men are starving. They're skin and bones. There's almost nothing left. And they are eating this food with tremendous hunger. Pass me the meat. Give me some bread. And as they stand around the table and help themselves with a passion because they're so hungry, because they're almost starving to death. And in the middle of this feast, when they're beginning to feel their bellies filling up, one of the old men lifts up his hands and says, "We do not well. We do not well." He said, "Stop, my dear friends. We do not well. Rise to your feet." Let's read a scripture in 2 Kings chapter 7. Starting in verse 3. In the context, Samaria was surrounded by enemies. They hadn't had food. The people in the city were starving. And verse 3 says, "But there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die.' And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We will, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night, and said to his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. 16. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we ask that you would use this little story to touch our hearts, to speak to the responsibility we have to those that are out there starving in the world when we have so much on our table. Thank you, Father. We trust you for this message. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We do not well. The lepers didn't know how bad the situation was in Samaria. They didn't realize that there were women actually cooking their children as a last effort, desperate move to save their lives from starving. They didn't know that the head of a donkey was being sold for 60 pieces of silver, and a little handful of pigeon dung was being sold for 5 shekels of silver. But they knew that things were not well. And they all of a sudden felt selfish. And they said, we have so much. Look at this table. And we have not told those people what's available. I would like to compare this little story with the table that God has set before us. I'd like to think especially of Christians who have given their hearts to the Lord and the things that God has blessed them with. I don't want to talk as much about material things, though I do agree that when we serve the Lord, He blesses us with material things also. Like my son said, He does provide for our needs. But I'd like to think of our spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ and the table that we have set before us if we live for Jesus. And then I'd like to apply it a little closer, thinking of, let's say, Lancaster County, if I may. There's a lot of you out there. I don't know where you come from. Must be big around here. Thinking of Lancaster County and thinking of our Christian heritage and things that our forefathers taught us and all the blessings we have received through Christ and through our heritage. And here we are gathered this morning, rejoicing in the Lord, full of blessings. And so many times we forget that beyond the tent and out in the world in the cities, there are a lot of lonely people that don't have what we have, whose hearts are empty and cold. But let's set our table first. And I'm going to ask you to help me. I would ask that you would please respond quickly. I'd like for you to help me set our table. I want you to speak out in a loud voice and say what your table has this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ? What are the spiritual blessings that you have on your table that you would like to be thankful for this morning? So anybody? The church family, a brotherhood that cares, the Word of God. Thank you, brother. This is the bread, a basket of beautiful bread that God has given us that we can feast upon daily. What else? Amen. All kinds of spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's like we're just like a little bit in heaven, or a little bit of heaven comes down and fills our hearts. What did I hear here? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Amen, brother. What would life be out without the Holy Ghost? It would be boring. Amen. Amen, brother. It would be boring if you wouldn't have the Holy Ghost. Did I hear somebody else over here? Hope. Isn't that beautiful? We have hope for the future. Forgiveness of sins. You know, when we understand God's holiness and we understand how perfect and glorious and beautifully pure He is, then we understand how sinful we are. That's why the forgiveness of sin becomes so precious. What else do you have on your table? Love. Amen. Do you know that there are thousands of people out there, millions, that don't experience real love? As I meet the people in Waslala, day in and day out, those lonely people, a large percent of them don't understand what real love is. And they don't even have love in their families because they fight a lot. What else? Peace. We'll get that one later. Peace. Have you ever thought about the blessing of going to bed at night with peace in your heart? What a beautiful blessing. One time we were sitting around a campfire with some young people in Costa Rica. And there was a new Nicaraguan girl there who had just been converted. And she saw the circle. And she got so excited. She said, "Do you know what you've got? Do you know what a blessing you have to have peace in your hearts, and that you can go to bed and sleep at peace with your Creator? You don't know what it's like to live in a world of turmoil and hate and unrest." Okay, there's another one over here. Excuse me. Christian parents. Amen. Now, not everybody has that. But we who do have a tremendous blessing. What else? A merciful Lord. A master that cares for us. That when we fail is merciful to us. Life everlasting. Compare that with hell, brethren. See what our table's got? Compare that with hell. Life everlasting in heaven. What else? Joy unspeakable. There's so many people sad today. We're here rejoicing, and there's so many people who are so sad because they don't have that hope. Their sins are not forgiven, and they're living in the midst of tremendous spiritual poverty, and their stomachs are empty. They're starving. Go ahead. Okay, start here. Chastening. Thank you, brother. We don't often thank the Lord for that, do we? We don't often appreciate that. Chastening. Love. Amen. What a beautiful thing is love. What else? Grace. Grace for the forgiveness of our sins. Grace to be faithful to God and to face this life. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. The resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings us power to live above sin and to live in victory. And we have an advocate. Yes, we say abogado. I hardly knew what that word is in English. We have an advocate, somebody that speaks for us to the Father. We have a lawyer, and he never failed a case so far. Praise the Lord. I was wondering if somebody's going to say that. Your children, and I'd like to add something to that. What a blessing is to have godly children that serve the Lord. I'm so glad that my children can be with me here today. But then there are also the spiritual children and brothers and sisters in Christ that we already mentioned. The Bible, praise the Lord, we have the Word of God. Beautiful marriages. If you follow the Lord, as we talked about last night, and live according to His commands, and live in harmony with your Creator, you will have a beautiful marriage. Oh, excuse me. Grandchildren, praise the Lord. I have three cute ones. I don't think there's any grandchildren cuter than my three. I'm sad they're not here today. There's much more we can talk about, brethren, but I think that's enough. Can you see our table? Do you see how well it's set and how beautiful this is? Now, yes, there are trials in the Christian life. Things get tough. The brother mentioned in the meditation earlier that there will be persecution. But I would just like for us to appreciate our table this morning. Let's just pause and thank the Lord for what He's done. Heavenly Father, we thank You for setting our table in such a beautiful way, such a complete way. All the things we need, we find in You. And today we thank You because we can enjoy these things every day as we follow You and as we live for You. But Father, today You're asking us to pause. You're asking for somebody to say, we do not well. Speak to us, O God, as You lift up Your holy hand and stop us in our tracks and make us think. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe it's time that somebody in Pennsylvania would say, wait, we do not well. We do not well. We do not well in what? We do not well in enjoying our what the table provides. It's not talking about that. We do not well in that we become selfish and we enjoy our food and we don't remember that there are a lot of people out there. Actually, a lot more people out there that don't have a table set like that than ones that do. So it's time that we stop and think as this one gentleman did here. He said, this is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We go back to our homes after this service to enjoy our lives and plus our material blessings. We'll have a big lunch here. If I know what Lancaster's like, I'm sure that after the benediction, there's going to be a lot of sandwiches, even if they're cut in half. But there's going to be a lot of them back there. So we have added blessings. Yeah, we can talk about the material things. But then we go home and we enjoy our lives. Recently, we were at this beautiful place in Virginia called Wilder Lake. My wife's sister's family took us down there for a picnic in the evening. And I was watching the owner as he was working around the grounds there. And I started thinking, what a kingdom. What a beautiful place he had set up. And I told my wife, you know, what would it be like to have something like this? And I felt a temptation. I felt a temptation to, you know, maybe retire early or something and have a place where there's a woods and a pond and all those beautiful trails and all the good things he had. A beautiful house, gardens, grapes, fruit trees. But then I shook my head and I said, it's not for me. It's not for me. How can we continue to ignore the needs around us? Brethren and sisters, it's as if we have a debt to pay. Our table is so full that it makes us responsible to turn around to help those that don't have what we have. There are people out there that are living as if a donkey head would cost 60 shekels of silver and a little handful of pigeon manure would cost 5 shekels of silver. You know, the pigeons could get outside of the camp, of the city, and they'd pick up grain in the fields, even if there was famine. So there was a little bit of a nourishment in their droppings. Can you imagine paying 5 shekels of silver for a little handful of pigeon dung, a donkey head soup? Can you imagine getting so desperately hungry that you'd give a fortune to have a head of a donkey? Because the rest, there was not much else left. Imagine if the head's worth 60 shekels, what did his body cost? And then imagine getting so desperate to sacrifice your own children to be able to find something to eat. This morning I'd like to talk a little bit to each one of us personally. I'd like to appeal to each one of us personally. We can talk to the church. Our time is limited. We don't have too much time left here. But I would like to appeal personally. Churches, first of all, you do have a responsibility as churches to reach out. I mentioned that the other day very briefly. We believe in reproduction physically. We believe God planned that families would have children and would reproduce, and they'd be grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We believe as churches that we should reproduce. Churches should have outreaches. They should send people out to tell the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not reaching out is the height of ungratefulness. And if we keep on being selfish and just feasting at our table and ignoring other people, what about the morning? What about when the sun comes up tomorrow? What about when the Lord returns? Jacinto told me to not say anything about him because he knows his daddy well. So I'm not going to say some things. But there's one thing I'm going to say. When he was, when we had the interview before his ordination, the Zapote Cum need was already up. And everybody knew that God was looking toward us in Waslala, our church, to do something about it. God had put his hand on us as a church. We felt a need. We felt a desire to supply that need. So when we interviewed him for the ordination, and the bishop brother had finished all the questions, and then I had one. I said, Jacinto, would you be willing to go to Zapote Cum if God would call you? And he turned around and thought a little bit, and with tears in his eyes, he said, how could I not be willing if Jesus was willing to come from heaven on this sin-cursed earth to save me? Now, if you'd know his house that he had at first, it was just about like heaven, not quite. Beautiful place. Maybe some of you have been there. Beautiful place. But like he said, now it's abandoned. There's bats live in it. And the robbers have taken over. And it just sits there on the hill. Why are we so selfish? If Jesus was willing to come down on this sin-cursed earth because we were eating donkey heads and pigeon dung. Jesus' love was so great. What did God ask of these men? What was their duty? God didn't tell them to organize and form a committee, and maybe one of them would be the president, and they're going to see now what they can do to get all Samaria involved to reach out. No, God just said, their conscience said. The Lord just told them, go down to the wall and tell them there's food up here on the hill. That's all. That's all. You just go out there and tell those dear people, or don't you care? Don't you hear the cry? The lonely voices, the lonely faces of the people that are lost without Christ. God just asks you to go over to the wall and tell them, there's food here. Give your testimony, what you enjoy in the Christian life, what God has blessed you with. It's a great work, brethren. It's a great work that God has given to every Christian man and woman. We shrug it off and say, no, that's for the preachers. That's the preacher's job. That's especially the evangelist's job. That's the missionary's job. That's why we put money in the offering, because the missionaries have to tell them. That's not what God says. God wants every one of us to be a missionary, from the youngest to the greatest. Because you eat at this table, there's no reason that you would not rise up in gratefulness and thankfulness and step out of your comfort zone and tell somebody. And it might not be far. You might not have to go all the way to Zapotecum. It might be right in your home. There might be somebody that's lonely, somebody that's hurting. It might be right in your church community. It might be your neighbor. It might be right there in Jerusalem where you're at. But so many times we're there just enjoying our food, just enjoying the table and getting fat. And the souls are waiting. God wants, especially the gifted, sure. But he wants you even if you're not that gifted. Is it hard to smile for Jesus? Is it hard to tell somebody I love you? Is it hard to tell somebody Jesus loves you? I recently met a man that is in a church down in Costa Rica, southern Costa Rica. I was there for meetings. And this man is almost queer, a little strange because of all that sin had did in his life. He was so messed up. He was a street boy. Many, many years ago, I'd go to the Central Park in San Jose, and I'd watch the street boys. I'd watch the shoe shiners and all their monkey shines. And my heart longed for them, and at that time I didn't even know how to witness. But I'd go and sit at the Central Park and watch them, and I didn't realize that right during that time, one of those boys would someday be my brother in Christ. And we figured it up that possibly the times that I would go, the year span that I was going to the Central Park, he was there, shining shoes, sleeping on the streets, doing drugs, stealing. He'd rip off anybody he could in the park. And he got so bad as he grew older. He was into drinking so bad he was seldom sober. And one day he was stumbling down the street. He was drunk, but he still remembers it. He said he was stumbling and he'd bump against the wall, you know, and he's walking down the street and bump against the wall. This is his testimony. And he came past the church house, and somebody just came out of church, and they met face to face, you know. Oh, here's a drunk. Whew, pew. Let him pass. No. This man, guess what he did? It was a young man. As he encountered this drunk and almost ran into him, he just kindly said, "Jesus loves you." That's all he said. But those three words echoed in his heart. And he remembered it when he was sober, and he couldn't forget them. And weeks went by and months went by, and he started just, "Who is this Jesus that loves me? Nobody else loves me. There's nothing left." He was sick and tired of donkey heads and pigeon dung. He was sick and tired of trying to find anything enjoyable out of sin. "Somebody loves me. Somebody loves me. His name is Jesus." And he began seeking, and he found and was converted. Now he's married and has a beautiful family. And they're a part of that church down there in the southern part of Costa Rica called Santiago. And I love to call him my brother. That was his testimony. You don't have to preach a huge message. You don't have to be eloquent. You know what? Sometimes maybe you're timid and you're scared, but the Spirit asks you to say something. Just a little bit. Just touch somebody. Just give him that smile. And your words might come out hinosh feros, like we say in Dutch. But if there's love in your heart, they will sense it. They'll feel it. You don't have to say much. Now, there are times when you can do better than that. There are times when you can actually take time and talk to them and give them your testimony. That's what God's asking. He's just saying, like he did to that man that had all those demons in his heart. Remember? And Jesus chased him out. And when he was done, he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, you have a job. You have a debt. You have received something so beautiful. Now turn around and go back to your town and tell the people what Jesus did for you." Sometimes the ladies say, "Well, you know, that's not me. I'm so busy raising children and washing diapers and washing dishes. And there's a sense which that is true, because don't anybody let you believe that your calling as a mother is not important. You're also raising children for the kingdom. Don't you ever dare neglect that beautiful thing God has given you. But I would like to challenge even the ladies, even the sisters. Would you just ask God for opportunities, because they come to your door. And sometimes maybe you're so busy you don't have time to go out, and you're taking care of these beautiful children. But you can teach your children about Jesus, and they will go out. Watch for opportunities. The sisters say, well, you know, that's a man's job. Recently, about a year ago, we were had a new idea for evangelization. We were excited, going out two by two, like Jesus taught. And we decided to go out over the hills of Waslala, two by two. We get together and we pray and divide up. And we were so excited. And one of the sisters in the church said, what about us? We want to go along. And I turned around and I looked at that sister and I said, in my heart, I said, Lord bless you. We're going to find something for you to do. You know, Jesus didn't send out women. He had disciples, but those were the leaders. But then I remembered the Samaritan woman. When Jesus gave her salvation, she turned around. I think she ran to the city and she witnessed. There is something for women to do. Guess what we did? We invited the sisters to come to our next time we went. And the men went one way and the women went another. And we told the sisters this way, two by two, you go into a home. And when there's a lady there that has time, that is willing to listen, if there's a man there, if he asked questions, of course you can answer the questions. But we got them to focus on women, and they went out and had a wonderful day. On the job. The job is a beautiful thing. A job where you rub shoulders with people is a beautiful thing. It gives you so many opportunities to touch people's lives and to tell them about Jesus. That's what God's asking. Just go out there and tell them about Jesus. In your homes, in your churches, in your towns. There's food in Zion. What a thrill. What a life. I would like to challenge you to ask God for one soul. And then after God has given you that soul, and then ask him for another one. And keep on asking as he brings them to you. Ask God for the privilege of leading somebody to Christ. Have you ever done that? Have you ever led somebody to Christ? Have you ever prayed with somebody that never knew the Lord? Have you been thrilled by seeing the work of the Holy Ghost in somebody's life and seeing him be free from sin? But you say, oh, it's scary. I don't want to go down to the Lancaster city. I don't want to go down in the slums. It's frightful. It's scary. Well, it probably is. I don't know. But it was scary to move into Waslala. And it was scary for Jesus to come down on earth. You know what happened to Jesus? They killed him. They killed him. God is asking you to go find those people. Now, some of you, he might ask to go a lot further. Some of you might end up in China. But you have to start here. If you're not a missionary at home, I doubt seriously if God's going to tap you on your shoulder and say, I'm going to send you abroad. We need missionaries out there. Absolutely. We sometimes are tired because there's so much to do and so few people to do it. And we scratch around and try to get people together that are prepared for an ordination because we need ordained men so much. And then I come up here and I see churches with five preachers, like this morning back here. Or was there four? Oh, Lord bless you. What a beautiful privilege to have a plural ministry. And then I look at the congregations and all the people. But please start with being a missionary where you are. That's what God wants. To stop being selfish. Ask God for the burden of lost souls. Ask him for heartfelt compassion. Ask that Jesus would break your hearts until you can weep about it. Like I asked the other evening, when is the last time you have wept over lost souls? Now, there are many ways to help reaching out. And I know a lot of you people are involved. A lot of you people are working that way. Praise the Lord. But I would like to challenge anybody. Let's examine our lives and see if, just in case, we are not doing well and need to improve in this area also. We sing that song. We feast at Jesus' table all the time. Yes. Let's keep on. That's a blessing that we have. Let's feast at Jesus' table all the time. But then we get up. Our hearts are broken because of the needs around us. Our eyes are wet. And we step out seeking for opportunities. You remember the story of Korah and his buddies that were rebellious against Moses and Aaron? They were bitter because Moses was getting the attention. Moses was leading the people, and they got rebellious, and they said, "We can be leaders too. You're not the only ones in the congregation." And in their rebellion, they argued against God and against his leaders. And you know the story. God took care of them good. The earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his family. And then a fire came out and burned the 250 whatever that were following him. But I would like to notice what happened after that. The next day, early in the morning, there were people coming to Moses and Aaron again. Now this is hard for me to understand, how somebody could be so blind after having seen what happened to Korah that they would come and complain again, but they did. Not only were there leaders involved, there were people, just swarms of them coming out, and they come over to Moses and Aaron. They say, "You are killing God's people." "You have killed the people of the Lord." And then a thick fog descended on the tabernacle. You can imagine what's going to happen, even if you wouldn't read the story or know the story. Moses and Aaron went quickly to the tabernacle, and they went into this thick fog, and they fell down upon their faces before God. "God, please." And God is saying, "Look, get away from here. Back off, Aaron and Moses. You just get out of here, because I'm going to finish up with my people. This is enough." In God's holy wrath, he was willing at that moment to destroy them. But Moses and Aaron were pleading. Can you imagine that? After those men having been so mean to Moses and to Aaron, they're laying on their faces and they're pleading. And as they pray, as the fog thickens, Moses, knowing God, the holy God Almighty, Moses sensed what was happening. And I can imagine him whispering over to Aaron, "Aaron, run, quick. I'm not even sure how to say it, those little things to burn incense. Go get one of those little things to burn incense and quickly run, because I'm sure the death has begun." Now can you imagine Aaron quickly running and getting one of those little things and getting the incense ready? And he turned around and he ran. Can you imagine? He breaks out of the fog and he goes running into the congregation as hard as he can go. And Moses stays there on his face pleading with God, "Please save the people." Aaron ran. What did he do? He ran and stood between the living and the dead. He went and stood right in the middle. Destruction was coming this way. The plague. In God's wrath, they were dying like flies. And he ran into the center between the living and the dead. And he started his little fire, and the smoke went up, and he made atonement for God's for the people. And the plague stopped. And we think of the sum of the people that died that moment were 14,700 people on this side. But praise the Lord, How many were there on this side? There were probably well over 1 million people, maybe 2. They were saved because somebody was willing to come and stand in the breach and stand between the living and the dead and to pray and make atonement for the people. Would you be willing to be somebody that would go and stand between the living and the dead? Would you let God strike your heart this morning with the seriousness of the death of a soul without Christ? To think of how sad it is when just one person dies without the Lord Jesus. Would you allow Jesus tonight, this morning, to strike you with joy in thinking that you might be able to make a difference in one of those souls, or in 20 or in 100? And open your hearts to God and hear that urgent cry. Moses says, Aaron, run! It's urgent! And Aaron ran, and he made atonement, and the dying stopped, and he saved the people. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you so much for what you have given us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have just taken a glimpse this morning of that table that you have prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Oh, we thank you especially, Lord, for joy and peace and love, for the forgiveness of sins, for the opportunity of being your friend every day and walking with you on the road to Emmaus. Lord, we thank you for all these blessings, but tonight, this morning, we thank you also for making us pause and saying that things aren't right, because we also need to remember the people around us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for reapers. We pray for people that are willing to go out to reap those souls. Oh, Lord of harvest, send forth reapers. And I ask that you would use me again. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, break my heart and remind me of all the loss around me, and make me be willing. Fill me with joy in reaching out for you and seizing all those opportunities that you bring to us. I pray that you would give us opportunities, even as we ask for you daily for opportunities. I pray that you would give us souls that we could be blessed and with helping so they can find peace with you. I pray that the people from this tent would be willing to go and pick up the incense and go and stand between the living and the dead for your honor and your glory. Forgive us for our selfishness and help us to awake to this need, this urgent need. In Jesus' name we pray. I'd like to ask my family to come forward. We have a couple songs we'd like to sing. As we sing, I would like to suggest that you close your eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about you being willing to be a missionary for Jesus Christ, and for you being willing to do something about the lost children, His lost children, that God would minister to your hearts as we sing. Remember, there are people out there that are dying.
Crying in the city, lonely voices sounding like a child, lonely voices come from busy people, too disturbed to stop a little while. Lonely voices fill my dreams. Lonely voices haunt my memory. Lonely faces looking for the sunrise, just to find another busy day. Lonely faces all around the city, men afraid but too ashamed to pray. Lonely faces do I see. Lonely faces haunt my memory. Lonely eyes, I see them in the subway, burdened by the worries of the day. Men at leisure, but they're so unhappy, tired of foolish roles they try to play. Lonely people do I see. Lonely people haunt my memory. Abundant life he came to freely give man, but so few his gift of grace receive. Lonely people live in every city, men who face a dark and lonely grave. Lonely faces do I see. Lonely voices calling out to me. Those lives were mine to love and cherish, to guard and guide along life's way. Oh God, forbid that one should perish, that one, alas, should go astray. Back in the years, with all together, around the place, we romp and play. So lonely now, and oftentimes wonder, oh, will they come back home someday? I'm lonesome for my precious children. They live so far away. Oh, may they hear my calling and come back home someday. I gave my all for my dear children. Their problems still with love I share. I brave life's storms, defy the tempest to bring them home from anywhere. I'm lonesome for my precious children. They live so far away. Oh, may they hear my calling, calling, and come back home someday. I live my life, my love I gave them, to guide them through this world of strife. I hope and pray we'll live together in that great glad hereafter life. I'm lonesome for my precious children. They live so far away. Oh, may they hear my precious children, they live so far away. Oh, may they hear my calling and come back home someday.
Brother John, would you come and be with this brother as we pray? I'd like to pray for this brother that came forward. I'm sure there's a need in his heart. Maybe there's somebody else that wants to come while we pray. What a blessing is to feel our needs. I wasn't necessarily planning to give an invitation formally, but you know that invitation is always open. Jesus' arms are outstretched. And especially this subject is precious, very precious to him. Because you ever think about it? Those people out there are his lost children. Years ago, in the city of Sarasota, we lost our daughter, Cynthia, when she was only about 2 years old. Or we thought we lost her. Actually, she was at home, and we had left her in her apartment. We were in a minister's meeting, and there was a big thing going on, and we were sure she was with us, and it ended up, for 2 hours, we thought she was lost. We actually thought she had been kidnapped. Picked up on the streets right in front of the place where we had our ministers' meetings. It was a terrible 2 hours. There was a thunderstorm. It was raining. It started to rain. There were like 100 people out searching for this little girl. And my wife and I just stood around in a daze as we imagined our little daughter, Cynthia, being raised in an ungodly home, the TV society, and not knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we wept, and people prayed with us. The police came. It was a wild night. And then we sent my brother to the apartment to get a picture of her because the police needed it. There she was in bed sleeping. And I had to preach that night. Guess what it was about? The message was on outreach. And as this all went on, I didn't even think about my message. At first I was running up and down a canal where the alligators lived, trying to find my daughter. And later, just numb, I just stood around with my wife and my children and allowing people to pray with us. And oh, what suffering. What pain to think. I told my wife, I said, just as well stop looking, because the fellow came in with reports of having seen a man and some ladies asking strange questions. It's a long story. Some of you have read it in my books. But then when we found her and we rejoiced and we hugged her like we never hugged her before, God gave her back, and we're still not over it. But then they said, Pablo, could you still preach? It was past time for the service to start. They were already singing. And I stopped and I said, yes, I think I can. And they took the family to give them a meal because they hadn't eaten yet. And I went in, and as I entered into the sanctuary, they were singing the song. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far out on the hills. I forget the words. Out on the mountain, thunder riven. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me why it all had to happen. And we had people come to us later and thank us for being willing to suffer so that God could give us such a beautiful object lesson for the message. And that point was much stronger than anything I said. But I got a feeling of how it felt for my child to be lost. That's how God feels. That's how God feels about all those people out there. Let that the love of God break your heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's pray. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being here with us this morning. We thank you for this brother that came forward. Lord, I pray that you would bless him. You know what his needs are. And I pray that you would, even as you minister to his heart and as you cleanse him and bless him with your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would put in his heart a love for lost souls, and that he could be one of those that are willing, wherever he's at, to reach out to the people around him. And what I pray for him, I pray for everybody in this tent. Lord, if there's somebody here that hasn't given his life to you, I pray that you would speak to him, that he could feel your love. And the ones of us that are feasting at the table, that we could rise up and be unselfish and bless the people around us. Lord, we just plead for all those souls out there that are starving for your love. Give us a burden. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn the time over to the brethren that are in charge.